chapter 3 and we're at verse 27. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. All I can say is this, that most people rage the question of baptism, immediately think of quarrels, immediately decide to avoid them, and think of people with all sorts of very strong views which they wish to take as somebody else's. Well, I wouldn't take it like that. Here's one of the great things here. Look, all over we're getting people with wrong ideas of baptism. I get people to me and others who want their children baptized and they want them christened and all the rest. And what they want doing is something that so that the child will have a meal afterwards, that there will be specially things done. Well, just avoid it all. What does this mean? This is the whole thing about it. Now, I want to take something with you. The greatest part on this is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. But just think for a moment. You know that Paul wrote the letters in his order them. Now, the orders do grow. There is more put in them in the bigger chapters and less put in the smaller. Now, which was smaller and which was bigger of these? Well, Galatians was written before Romans. Therefore, it was done by Paul, partly in a sense that it's looking forward to a future of what he's speaking about baptism, where here is looking quite much more simple about the matter. Now, what is he teaching with? Because until we've got that again in our minds, what are we after? What he's talking about is circumcision. And what this man with circumcision starts off, look at verse 27, for. And what's he saying about circumcision? That we're all one family in God by faith in Christ Jesus. So then, what he's after about baptism, because this for is deliberately added to it, is that he's dealing with unity between the family of Christ Jesus in God. Now that's very simple, isn't it? It's very plain. You can see then, when you look at the New Testament, that God is dealing with this simple question of being united with Christ. Now, he says, for as many of you, or as many as there are of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What he's saying is, sonship, in the verse 26, children of God, or sons of God, by faith in Christ, are a shared family. Now, many people deliberately break up this and break up their ideas on it. But this is to bring people into a unity by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's talking about with baptism. So when you take baptism, this is the subject he's at. That's very simple. It's no one can deny it, and it's very plain. Now, all sorts of baptism they mean by this. Let me put aside to you first. Some people think you're talking about something of of baptism which is spiritual. I'm not talking about baptism which is spiritual. When you get the Quakers, and actually the Salvation Army too, because by mischance they don't have baptism. It's not because they didn't decide to, but because they didn't run it that way. Now, when you get these, they are teaching men like Fox and that Christ's baptism was nothing more than something spiritual. It wasn't anything to do with water. It wasn't anything to do with your putting on to people or touching people or saying things or anything. It was spiritual. And that's what they were teaching. And a lot of people are that. And I have met many people who think that they are spiritual about baptism. Well, we're not right that. We'll get on to this. Others, and I'm talking about liturgy, which is books and robes and dresses and all the paraphernalia of it. Well, what they say is that putting on baptism means putting on, getting on the special dress, or putting something which you need put on you. Now, let me get this plain to you. That never existed in the New Testament. It's nothing to do with the New Testament, putting fancy robes on people. It's all something quite different. We're not talking about that, what Paul is talking about. He's talking about something different, spiritual. Something different about putting on. You see, this word, it says put on, you've got a problem there, because it actually means to put clothing on. And so a Roman Catholic Church teaches that to be properly baptized, you must have this thing which they call this shiny thing about them. They must have that on. And they say you could have it completely naked. And as long as you put that on, then you can carry on with baptism. Well, now, that's not what we're talking about, liturgy there. We're not talking about people with bits of things that they put on, fancy or not fancy. It's nothing to do with it. Now, that has to be put out of mind, because many people are in their minds on this subject, and we want to get rid of it. So then, what is this? Well, what the Judaizers had got wrong was that they said to be a true Jesus of God, you must first believe in Jesus and second be circumcised. And that's what they're teaching it. And that's what Paul is against it. And Paul is writing this whole verse, chapter 27, against the Judaizers and against their idea, this. In other words, what he's at is this. They're splitting the church. They're saying there are churches in Galatia who aren't really quite got there. And many people believe it today. They say, well, our church is one really a bit bigger than others. We're better bigger than others. We shouldn't have this sort. We should have something added to it. And they added this circumcision. We're not adding anything. Paul is saying, get rid of everything else. What we want is united. That's what he's teaching about. And that's what the whole thing is about. And unless you grasp that, then you're just going to wander around in a big error. John Stott put this very well. A lot of people have thought it put it well, and I do. He said, faith secures the union. Baptism signifies it outwardly and visibly. And that is exactly true. That's just how the thing is. Now, in what a way does baptism bring into the fellowship in Jesus Christ of being baptized? It's very important we do this. Instead of all just shout and make a great row about it and refuse to talk each other, let's have a look at the thing sensibly. I'm not trying to teach anybody any doctrine or thing that they have from their particular denomination. Let's just have a look at it. Now, there are several views of being fellowshipped baptism. What is it? Well, the first is what we call sacramental or sacerdotal. Now, let's listen what it means. It's the Roman Catholics and the Anglo-Catholics. And they say that the actual putting of the water on the person regenerates them. So that we don't say Jesus is being born again by listening to the word, but they're actually saying it's being regenerated by getting the right amount of chrism and water and oil and all the rest of it, and they become Christians of them. And they go to heaven on that. Well, now, we must look at that idea, because it's a very wide idea that we get to heaven by everybody just putting ordinary water from the tap on our heads and everything gets us to heaven. Well, we can't believe it. And we never have, Jim. And the reason is this, very simple, that it doesn't work. What do I mean? Well, you look like Acts 8. And I'll show you. Acts 8. And you'll see there what he's talking about. Now, look at verse 16. They baptized this man, Simon Magus. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them mining, saying, "Give me also this power, on whom I may lay hands, that I may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy mother marriage perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Now, what this man had was that he wasn't a believer, even though he'd been baptized. And that's very clear. And it's even more clear when you look at Acts chapter 5. And there it's perfectly clear again. And Acts 5, there was a man called Ananias and Sapphira who told a dreadful lie and break the unity of the fellowship, and God killed them both right openly, because it was such a dangerous thing they do at the beginning of the great work of God in baptism. And what he does here is Ananias and Sapphira have been baptized, have joined in everything, received the Spirit, and then they went the absolute opposite way, and they were killed. And had they had the baptism, they did. And did it get anywhere? No. So what we're saying to Roman Catholics and all the rest is this: you may talk about whatever comes on your head, but you're not baptized. Regeneration is something come from the Holy Spirit, coming from God himself to people. He doesn't come from bits of porting water put on his head. Now, another thing we must look at with this is the Ethiopian eunuch, because he was baptized after, not before like these other two, but after they were baptized. Let me turn with Acts chapter 10 and verses 47 and 48. Acts chapter 10 is worth getting rid of, get hold of tightly. Acts chapter 8 verse 36. I think I often muddle verses. There's 36. Yes. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does it hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down to both the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So then they were baptized after they were born of the Spirit. And that is getting clear. We want to find this thing put thing. I cannot go through all the times there are, but the point is that it is partly of baptism. And you look at 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2. Now, what is here? He doesn't mean actual baptism, but brought into the leadership of Moses. This is the people walking through the cloud after coming out of the sea and going into the promised land. And it says, "Moreover, brethren," chapter 10, "I would not ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and were all past the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So he's teaching them very clearly that what happened was they received on them the leadership of Moses from the beginning right through. He's leading them through the Dead Sea and that's what he's at. So there's something about baptism which is nothing to do with anyone getting baptized on them by putting something on their heads as being regenerate. Now look at Romans chapter 6 and verses 11 and what he's teaching. Well, what he's teaching is that they are united into Christ. Now, what does he mean here, what he's teaching here? It's very important indeed. Believers' baptism is of water and under the influence of Christ. I say those very clearly. But more, Romans 6 here offers our union with Christ. It's a picture of baptism by spiritual death and out into reunion. You see, what this saying is this: as Christ died and as Christ rose, So we are in Christ, are dead and risen. That is what he's teaching. Paul is not teaching some of the things that are stated about it, but they're there. And Christ died and rose again. So then, let's take it back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Christ says, as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, all Christians say, this is our union with Christ. So what we're getting at is Christ's union with Christ, not with each other, although that comes separately, but with Christ, is by this baptism. And that's why he's fighting against the Galatian heresy, because he wants them all to be one, not to be divided. You will find all these sects divide, you know the lot. The whole lot, they're very keen on division. Well, this isn't. Now turn with me what I mean by Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 to 6. Ephesians 2. And this is how Christ came out in baptism and you. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when he was dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace by his kindness towards through Christ Jesus. So then, what is teaching there then is there is an agreement in this. Now, I want to say something here which people need to grasp. Even the Roman Catholics and the Anglo-Catholics agree with us that baptism is to do with identifying ourselves with the Lord Jesus. Even the most strong baptism agree that we are identified with Christ Jesus. But the people who do not believe that are the liberals. And by liberals, I mean people who don't believe the Bible properly and don't teach it and have various philosophical ideas. And they don't believe in the doctrine of teaching the union of believers with Christ. They put it this idea. They are identifying themselves with Christ. That's not the same thing. That's what these people are teaching, that they're identified with Christ. So, we have no agreement with them. Because we're not identified with Christ, we're put onto Christ. And when we come into Christ, we become one with Christ. And we become in God's sight in Christ. But these people have an idea in their head that they identify with Christ, and that's what they teach. And a lot of people get caught up by this. Don't get caught up with it. We're not that. We don't want what they're teaching. So we have no agreement with them. Now, we have agreement then in one point in Galatians, and this is the essential agreement, that we have union with Christ. So I want to turn with 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Look, start at 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, soul. So is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. So we have many members, but they're all in Christ. That is what we're getting at. It's very important indeed that we accept it, so that the Spirit that baptizes, not the outward flesh, but the inward flesh, baptizes us, and we put into Christ, and we call it the mystical union. That's what we have, the mystical union, like regeneration, exactly the same, that we are born again by God's Holy Spirit being given to us, and then the outward action of it is in Christ. It's so clear that we don't have to worry. There are a great many quarrels about this, but it's simple once you look at it with how it is. So then, we are not speaking of representation or of any liberal ideas. What we're speaking of is actual union with Christ by baptism. It's not people saying, well, we have this or that or that. It's one thing. Christ's union is by Christ's Holy Spirit joining our body into Christ. So by baptism, that's what you have. And much of our quarrelling about it we would drop if we once understood what Paul is talking about. You see, the trouble is, it looks so dull, doctrine, but we need what's being said, because this is showing us what God is doing. God is uniting us with Christ in the Holy Spirit, not just in it. Now, we get into a deeper problem into baptism. Now, it's this. Have we been justified and forgiven in Christ? Well, now, this is a vital union. We are united, but let's forget circumcision. Forget the sects like the Judaizers, but we realize that the real people of God have the uniting of our spirit united to Christ. So your Christ is united to Christ. That's baptism about. That's what it's talking about in baptism. There is one more question we must ask. Does Paul mean we are, in one way, by baptism, united with believers as together? You see, I've been talking to you about being baptized in Christ. But are we baptized together? And the answer, yes. We are added to. Look at verse 28, because this is what Paul's teaching. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So once Christ is my spirit by God's Holy Spirit joined to him, then we are joined together. What a mess this women have got together about this verse. The verse Paul never meant that we were all to have sitting in place behaving like this. What Paul meant was that all of us one together by God's baptism of the Holy Spirit has brought us into Christ, dead, buried, and alive again, and raised again. That's what it is. So you look at our little passage we've looked at. If you look back over these passages, five times does it talk about faith. Baptism comes only one time And there are very few times baptism comes in the New Testament letters. There just isn't a lot about them. You look them out yourself, and I think it's right that there are only four out of all the 13 that actually speak about Christ. I didn't bother time to look up for it, but I think it is four times that they have of it out of the other nine where it doesn't. So then, what is, and we must end up here, you have put on Christ. What do we mean by put on Christ? Well, in Judges 6:34, if you can turn with me, it's worth looking at the Judges 6:34. And there you'll find it speaks about Gideon. And 34 says, "But the Spirit of God came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." What does it mean, the Spirit of God came upon? Well, it clothed on him. So then, there was a clothing on him, and therefore, what it's meaning, when it says put on Christ in Galatians chapter 3:27, it means it's put on. It means that there is this power, this spirit, this way the Holy Spirit comes into Gideon, and this Holy Spirit comes into us, and as the Holy Spirit came onto Gideon, so the Holy Spirit came upon me Christ with me. Look at it with me now. Turn back to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22-24. This is what this is putting on. It's a word, means endusas. It means you put off clothes or put them on. "That he put off concerning the former conversation," that means the former way we're thinking, "the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and he put on the new man, which after God is created after righteousness and true holiness." And then it shows what we do. "Wherefore we're putting away lying, speaking every man truth." Then verse 26, "Be angry and sin not." Verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." And verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil spirit being put away from you. And be kind one to another, tender in the heart, and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." That is what he means by putting on. That's what we're talking about, not like having some garment that the Roman Catholics put on. That it's just, I won't even begin to think about it as anything to do with them. And then turn with me to Colossians, and this is the end of it. Chapter 3, and verses 18-21. It's verse 8. "But now also ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie to one, not to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image that him created him. Where is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbles of minds, meekness, long-suffering. And so it goes on, there isn't time. But you can see quite clearly that putting on is our way of life. It's not doing the evil things we do, but doing what God says don't do. And that's what baptism is. That's what Paul is actually teaching. Now, if you've listened to him that, you've realised that this is something far greater than everybody having a shout and a go on at each other about which way the water ought to be done. This is how he means it. Amen.